We're in John chapter 10, and oh boy. If you've thought that the Gospel of John has been rich up to this point, and I hope it has been to you, starting here, John just, to my way of thinking, grows richer and richer in his lavish portrayal of the grace of Christ, the power of Christ, as we get to chapter 11, the dispensing of the Holy Spirit, the help, all of this leading, of course, to his death, burial, and resurrection. And so, I just encourage you as we come week to week. I know I forgot to send out the preparing for this Sunday email that I like to send out, but be reading ahead, be looking, be meditating, be thinking. Because all of this is given for the purpose of portraying Jesus for you in a way that is, first of all, saving, but second of all, is sanctifying, life-settling. We're meant to understand these things and to understand them quite deeply. So John chapter 10, and we'll begin reading the first six verses, and then you might stick a bulletin or something in Ezekiel 34. We'll get to that in a little bit. But let's pray. Father, you've given us your word because there are many things you want us to understand, not just with our minds, though it begins there, but also through the mind, through the ear, into the heart, with the whole of our being, with all of our soul, with all of our emotion, with everything that we are, that we would be conformed and shaped to what we see of Christ, and you allow us to see of Christ in your word. And so as we begin to see him this morning in John 10 as the good shepherd who comes for his sheep, Father, would you enable every individual here to hear that part of the message very clearly that they need for the health and benefit of their own soul? And would you give the grace of your Holy Spirit to respond to that truth with believing, faith, and a following of Christ as he is portrayed? We ask in your name. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. There's a tight connection here that many people miss between the picture Jesus gives of the good shepherd calling his sheep and what just happened in chapter 9 when the Pharisees reject this man Jesus just healed that we looked at last week. You see, the Pharisees thought of themselves as the shepherds of Israel. They believed it was their job to watch over God's people, his sheep, and when necessary, drive out those that didn't belong. Those who didn't conform to their idea of what a sheep should be. You remember, that's what they've done with this man. Back in verse 34 of chapter 9, they said to him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. They cast him out. But then Jesus comes and finds him. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and worshipped him. Now, look at the image there. The sheep they drive out, Jesus searches out and brings home. Amen. And we remember that this is why Jesus came. Luke 19, verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Amen. Jesus is the good shepherd who searches hill and dale for the lost sheep driven away by the false shepherds. And when he finds him, he rejoices in the words of Luke 15:6, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." So this little parable that Jesus tells in John 10 is meant to show us the difference between the false shepherds who misuse and abuse the sheep and the true shepherd who comes for them, who finds them and cares for them and leads them into green pastures. And so he's showing us this morning, church, that we might learn to recognize the true shepherd and follow him ourselves, that we may learn to hear and follow his voice, not the voice of a stranger. And so let's look at that this morning. First of all, just look at the clear contrast he gives us here between the true shepherd and these false shepherds. Verse 1, truly, truly. Now, right, little alarm goes off in your head when you read those words. Truly, truly. What's that telling you? Listen up, perk your ears up. What comes next is very important. Jesus wants you to get this. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So he's warning you about something here. He's warning you to be on the lookout for thieves and robbers. So how are you going to recognize them? Well, unlike the shepherd who comes in through the front door, it says these men climb up over the wall at night. They sneak in. Now, let's think about that picture. Let me just give you a little background to that. In a typical Middle Eastern village in Jesus' day, each family would tend to own a few sheep. And those sheep would then be given into the care of a shepherd, usually one of the sons from the village, maybe someone else. But at night, those sheep would be brought together into a walled courtyard. That's what this word sheepfold here actually means. It's a walled enclosure built up next to one of the houses with one door and usually a high wall about 6 feet tall with briars and things across the top to keep people out. And they'd hire a watchman at night to sleep by the door and make sure nothing happens to the sheep. Well, what might happen to the sheep? Of course, there are thieves about. Just like, you know, here in Arnold, I've got this little alert I keep getting about people breaking into your cars at night. You know, all over Arnold in the area. Well, people would break into the enclosures to steal the sheep. These men who did that, they cared nothing for the sheep. They only wanted to use them. They wanted to eat them or sell them for a profit. But how do you tell the difference then? Because you got two different people that'll enter that sheepfold. You got the shepherd and you got the sheep thieves. How do you tell the difference? Well, the difference is the thief climbs in over the wall. He sneaks in where he doesn't belong to abuse the sheep. He cares nothing for the sheep themselves. He only wants to use them for himself. But the shepherd comes in through the door. And as we're going to see, he calls his sheep by name. He's tender with them, and because they know him, because they trust him, they follow him, and then he leads them out into green pastures to care for them, to benefit them. The shepherd loves the sheep. The thieves do not. Now that's the difference. By the way, do you love God's sheep? Do you love God's people? Are you interested in their well-being, or do you tend to see people as in the way if they're not serving you and helping you, as obstacles to be dealt with if you don't perceive that you're being benefited by them? The shepherd loves the sheep. Now, there's an Old Testament background to this image Jesus paints throughout these verses and all the way through John 10 as he contrasts the true versus the false shepherds. And that's where we come to Ezekiel 34. So if you want to turn there just for a second. Ezekiel 34 is a passage where God is confronting the would-be shepherds who are no shepherds at all. They're thieves and they're robbers, and promising to send the true shepherd. Ezekiel 34, verse 1 to 6, at first it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You see, their orientation is to themselves, not the sheep. You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you've not strengthened, the sick you've not healed, the injured you've not bound up, the strayed you've not drawn back, the lost you've not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. Do you see the picture of these Pharisees and the treatment of that man? So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and the high hills. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to seek them or search for them. These men Jesus has confronted think of themselves as shepherds. That's how they see their role, but they're really anything but shepherds. They're certainly not good shepherds. They don't care for the sheep. They abuse the sheep. They use the people for their own benefit. So much so, you'll notice that Jesus doesn't call them shepherds at all here in John 10. He names them what they are: thieves and robbers. Men who bring not benefit, but loss to others, harm to others. They've snuck in over the wall and presume to take an authority over God's people that is not theirs to have. And you understand there are many like this today, scattered across churches and other places, whether they call themselves pastors or elders, deacons or prophets, apostles or teachers, or even just a concerned church member. They assume an authority over others that is not theirs to have, and they bring not benefit and blessing, but harm and loss to those they touch. Now that's who Jesus is calling out here. Those who harm God's people in the name of helping them, guiding them. So what does Ezekiel say God is going to do about these false shepherds? Well, let's read on, beginning in verse 7 of Ezekiel 34. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. If I was one of them, I would duck. As I live, declares the Lord, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore you shepherds hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I'll require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. I want to tear them down. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord, behold, listen to this, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. Now, do you see Jesus in that picture in John 9? As the shepherd seeks out his flock when he's among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep. That's just John 9, isn't it? And I will rescue them from the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Skip down to verse 15. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong, you know, those who think they're something, them I'll destroy. I'll feed them with justice. Now, what's Jesus saying here? As opposed to the false shepherds who've snuck over the wall and are bringing harm and abuse to the sheep, Jesus says, I have now come. I am now here. I am the true shepherd of God, and I have come to care for the very sheep that you've driven away and scattered. We see the same thing in another prophecy, Jeremiah 23, 1-5. I'll just read that one to you. Jeremiah says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you've scattered my flock, you've driven them away," using almost exactly the same phrase for what those men did to that man. "You've not attended to them. Behold, I'll attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I've driven them. I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I'll set shepherds over them that will care for them, and they will fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch." A very clear pointer to Jesus, by the way. "I'm going to raise up the son of David, Jesus, and he will reign as king and deal wisely, and he'll execute justice and righteousness in the land." Oh, don't you want a shepherd like that? Don't you want a shepherd like that? One who will care for you, not abuse you. One who will come for you and lead you to those promised green pastures. One who comes in through the door and knows you by name and calls you tenderly to come and follow him. And can you not see? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to see two points of application here at the beginning. First of all, just, friend, make sure that you see that Jesus is the focus here. Back in John 10, verse 2, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Who is that? It's Jesus. And what is the door? I believe it's the door of these fulfilled prophecies, Ezekiel and Jeremiah, just as God has promised. These others presume to take an authority that God never gave them. They use that authority for themselves to the harm of the sheep. But Jesus is sent by God to care for those sheep. He comes in through the door openly, publicly, declaring who He is, showing us clearly who He is ultimately in His death, burial, and resurrection. His love displayed for the sheep on the cross. Right? And in case we're dull and don't get that, John 10:11 is going to make it clear. "I'm the good shepherd." What does he do? The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Make sure you see this is Jesus. Second, make sure you're not one of these authority thieves abusing his sheep in the name of helping them. I mean, here's just the warning for every one of us. If God gives you a position of authority, a place to teach, a place to lead, a place to influence, use it to serve God's people, never to abuse them. Dear one, it's not about you. It's not about your position. It's not about your place. Misuse them and you will face Him. That terrifies me. That in Jeremiah, you who attend to my sheep, I'm about to attend to you. I don't want to hear that. So back to the text. And let's watch then how the good shepherd comes and how the sheep respond to the presence of the good shepherd. And so we see here that when the shepherd comes, beginning in verse 2, it tells us that the sheep will hear and respond with faith to the voice of the shepherd. Verse 2, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Now again, think of this image of the shepherd coming to collect his sheep back in Jesus' day. In that day, it would happen every early morning. The shepherd would come, and because he was known by sight by the watchman, the door would be thrown open to him, and the shepherd would stand there at the door, and he would call his sheep to come out, using a special call, a special sound that was familiar to them that brought an instant response. And his sheep, because they know their shepherd, because they trust the shepherd, the sheep would respond to that voice, and he would lead them out, and he would feed them, and he would care for them. Now, Jesus is using this image to teach us something about Himself and our response to Him. So let's pay attention to what He's showing us. First, He tells us that those who truly are His sheep, when they hear His voice, what are they going to do? They're going to respond to His voice in faith. That's verse 3. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name, and He leads them out. The gatekeeper. A lot of speculation in the commentaries about the gatekeeper, the doorkeeper. Who's this supposed to be? Is it supposed to be the Holy Spirit opening the hearts of believers? Or is it a picture of God opening the door of the nation of Israel so that Jesus can come in and collect His sheep from the nation? I could go with either one of those. I don't really think it matters to pin that down because Jesus doesn't tell us exactly what it represents. No, the real point in the story is that the door is opened and Jesus does come and call us by name and we follow Him. So let's look at that. Notice, first of all, please notice how personal this is. When the shepherd comes, how does He call them? He calls them by name. Friend, if you're His sheep, He knows your name. You're not just sheep number A432. You're Bill or John or Rachel or Terry or Claire or Ed or Stephanie. He knows your name. He knows who you are as an individual. He knows whom He redeems and He loves you. Isaiah chapter 43 verse 1 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." It's literally true of Palestinian shepherds. They have names for the sheep. They did in Jesus' day. I'm told they still do today. You know, names like Blackie, Long Ears, Fluffy, Smelly. I mean, whatever. Whatever the name might be, but the shepherd knows them and he knows them by name so that when he calls them by name, they come to him. The point being, notice, this is not just a general call to no one in particular, whoever just might happen to hear and on their own come. This is a personal, intimate, loving call to specific individuals. This is the special call of the shepherd to each individual sheep whom he has chosen to come and follow him. Theologically, we would call this the effectual call of faith. That specific, powerful, life-giving call that Jesus gives that penetrates your brokenness, that opens your blind eyes, that awakens your deaf ears, and gives life to the dead so that you rise and follow him. It's the call that we'll see Lazarus receive in John chapter 11 when Jesus steps up to the tomb and calls the name of the dead man, "Lazarus, come forth." And what happens? Lazarus comes forth. The call itself brings about the grace. This is the effectual saving call of grace that Christ brings into the life of His sheep so that you are enabled to hear and respond and rise and follow Him. Notice in this picture, the sheep are already His. He's already claimed them even before He gives the call. He calls them by name because He knows them. He calls His own to Himself and they follow Him. Those whom His grace has chosen rise and follow Him. I mean, if we want to go to Paul, we're simply seeing Jesus picture what Paul spells out in a place like Romans 8:29. For those whom He foreknew, right, those sheep that He already knew and claimed as His own, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom He predestined, He also called. There's that effectual call. I know them. I've set my love upon them. Now I'm calling them. Those whom He called, He justified. There's the gracious gift of salvation. And those whom He justified, He glorified. There's the eternity of joy in the green pastures He provides. The shepherd calls us by name. Friend, have you heard the voice of the shepherd calling you through the gospel? You see, this is where the life with Christ begins. He calls us. Have you heard Him calling? Have you responded to that call? I mean, this is the most important question that you need to grapple with personally. When Jesus calls, His sheep hear His voice. And that word "hear" means to hear with a positive response, to come when He calls. I mean, do you understand? This is the most basic definition of what a Christian is. What is a Christian? A Christian is someone who has heard the call of Christ through the gospel and come to Him by faith. Is that you? A Christian is someone who's not only heard the call outwardly, but responded inwardly by faith so that you have come to follow Him. That was John's experience. John, the author of this gospel, do you remember back in Mark's gospel, Mark 1, Jesus comes to four men at the seaside, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, and He says to them, Mark 1:17, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the next verse says, immediately they left their nets and they followed Him. Is that your experience? Are you following Jesus in response to His call? That's how you become one of His sheep. That's how you know that you're one of His sheep. You hear His voice calling you through the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of Christ. You recognize His voice because God has opened your heart to recognize and believe. And so you respond in faith by coming to Him. Notice that you come to Him. Not just religion, not just morality. You come to Him as your shepherd and you begin to follow Him with other sheep. And make sure you don't miss those last three words of this verse. They're really quite wonderful. It says they come to Him and He leads them out. He leads them out. He leads them out of sin and darkness. He leads them out from under the clutches of a potential thief. He leads them out of their fear and unbelief. He leads them out of guilt and shame. He leads them out to the green pastures of grace and life. I think of that wonderful psalm that we're all familiar with, Psalm 23, verses 1, 2, and 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does He do? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Is the Lord your shepherd? Have you responded to His call so that you are following as He leads? If not, will you hear and respond? Second thing to see here as well is that if you are His sheep, you will follow where He leads because you know and trust His voice. That's verse 4. When He has brought out all His own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow Him. Why? Because they know His voice. Notice it says that when He brings out all His own, boy, there's hope. All those He claims by grace will come. Not one will be missing. Not one for whom Christ gave His life as a substitute will be missing. And again, notice how relational this is. Which sheep follow Him? His own sheep. Those who are His by grace. Listen, if you are His, you will follow. If you don't follow, it's because you're not His. Are you following? And so the stress here, and I want you to see this, the stress is on the relationship. He is their shepherd. They are His sheep. He knows them by name. They know Him by voice. Why does it say they follow Him? Look at the end of verse 4. They follow Him because they know His voice. Do you know His voice? Well, how does that happen? How does a sheep learn to recognize his master's voice? Well, surely it begins at that initial gift of grace, that saving word of Christ through the gospel that awakens you to faith, that gives you ears to hear. It begins with that moment of conversion, but then it continues beyond that initial conversion as it grows into something deeper, as to something more daily. As the sheep spend time with their shepherd. And the more time that they spend with their shepherd, the more familiar they become with his voice. How familiar are you with the voice of your shepherd? Do you spend time with him, listening to him? Do you understand that is how you become familiar with the shepherd's voice, by hearing him speak his words to you? And so I'm not talking about something mystical here. You know, looking down inside yourself, seeking some inner voice, speaking down there somewhere, you know, Jesus calling in some mystical kind of way. No. Here's what I'm talking about. What I mean is the real Savior speaking to you through his actual word. You see, this is how he leads. And you follow. He leads with his words. The reason the sheep follow is because they are familiar with the sound of his voice speaking his words. Amen. And so the sheep have a relationship with the shepherd that is word-based. He speaks, they follow. So two things here. Look first. So as the shepherd, he leads us with his words. Notice that he leads us. He doesn't drive his sheep from behind. He goes before them and leads with his voice. Look at the picture again. When he's brought out all his own, because he's not going to lose one of them, he goes before them, he's in front, and the sheep follow him willingly, joyfully, because they know his voice. So here's where we mess up in this image, I think. Because we're Westerners, we're from the European tradition, I tend to think of Western-style shepherds who drive their sheep forward with sheepdogs, right? You've all seen the picture, some shepherd over in England somewhere or down in Australia. That's how they do it in Europe. It's not how they do it in the Middle East. It's not how they did it in Jesus' day. In the Middle East, the shepherd doesn't drive the sheep with sheepdogs. The shepherd walks in front of the sheep and calls them by name. That special call or sound that the sheep recognize, and the sheep joyfully, willingly follow behind because they know he's leading them to good pasture. Now just think of what a wonderful picture that is of our relationship with Christ. He's not driving us forward with the stick of the law, do this, don't do that. He's walking before us on the path that he himself has cleared for us. Amen. He's walking before us, clearing the path of all that could harm or divert us, the sin, the death, the devil, all that blocked our way. He's taken it for us, not at all saying it's going to be an easy journey, but it's one that he himself has cleared. And now, as he leads us on, we must follow him. But as he leads us on and we follow him, we know this, it's going to be okay. We are going to reach those green pastures because he's already marked the way for us and he knows where he's going and he knows what he's doing. And so our job is this, to follow him. We trust that he knows where he's going, he knows what he's doing, and we listen to the sound of his voice and we follow him. Which means, second, few things matter more in the Christian life than cultivating an ear that knows the sound of his voice. Cultivating an ear for his voice. How do you do that? How do you cultivate an ear for the shepherd's voice? Well, really, there is no substitute method. The only way to cultivate an ear for the shepherd's voice is to spend time listening to him speak. Letting him open up and tell you who he is. Letting him tell you of his love. Letting him reveal his heart for you. Letting him express his care for you in his word. Many of you know that we now have a dog. Anybody want a dog? Actually, it's Kim's dog. I told someone today that there's a reason that dog sellers don't let you have the dog on a 2-week trial. Because that first 2 weeks, you would bring them back every time. Well, we have a dog. Kim has a dog. Kim's in Bulgaria. So guess what? Amy and I are the ones who are training the dog. Here's what I've discovered, though, about training a dog. The only way to train a puppy, there really is no substitute for this. The only way to train a puppy is to spend lots of time with that puppy talking to it, showing it what your intentions are, leading it in a way that it learns to follow you and to follow your intentions. So that it learns to hear and recognize the sound of your voice, to listen to your commands. In spending time with that dog, you are teaching it to trust and follow you. That's true of dogs. It was also true of sheep. It's true of you and me. And you see, this is one of the reasons that whatever you're going to name it, some kind of regular devotion, regular time with God in His Word, hearing Him speak, is absolutely essential for growth in the Christian life, for living the Christian life. A daily time of devotion, again, I don't care what you call it, it's not all there is to the Christian life. It's not the sum total of the Christian life, but it is an absolutely essential part of learning to hear and walk with the Shepherd. I mean, where do you hear His voice? Speaking, you hear His voice in His Word. How do you get familiar with the sound of His voice? By listening to Him regularly. And this is why I make a personal priority in my own life of spending time regularly listening to God speak in His Word. It's why as your pastor, I'm constantly urging you to do the same. My goal for myself, for you, it's not just to keep some rule, oh, you've got to spend X amount of time with God to be a good Christian. My goal is to cultivate my soul in learning to hear from Him, to have you cultivate your soul in regularly drawing near to Him.
Amen.
And my own practice is very simple. I keep it simple because if it's not simple, I won't do it. And so I keep it simple. For myself, I read from three passages of Scripture, typically. An Old Testament passage. I'm currently in Esther. She's in big trouble right now. I'm in the New Testament in the Gospel of Matthew. And I'm always in either the Psalms or Proverbs. And so I'm reading these passages, keeping track as I go. But it's a special kind of reading. It's not just a reading to get done. As I begin each day in my reading, I ask the Lord to open my heart to hear His voice in His Word. Because this is what I want to do. I want to meet with Him. I want to hear from Him. And so I read with an ear ready to hear His voice. I read knowing this is Him speaking when I open His Word. I read seeking to consciously respond to what He is saying in His Word with words of my own. So if He gives me something to praise Him, I praise Him. I break out in a song perhaps. If He gives a command to obey, I seek to make my heart ready and willing. If He shows me something that is a need for you or for me or for my wife, I respond to that in prayer. And it's a determined reading, seeking to hear from God and respond to Him as He reveals Himself in His Word. And the result of that is that it's a kind of conversation, hearing Him through His Word, responding to Him in my prayers. And I do other things too. There's a devotional I use, things like that. I have a prayer list so I can pray for you regularly. But that's the core of it. That's the simple core. And understand, I'm not saying that every morning is this big spiritual banquet with just me and Jesus sitting there having coffee and crumpets together. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I'm so dull that nothing penetrates. My mind wanders. But I'm determined to hear from Him because He is my shepherd, and I believe He has promised to meet with me when I seek Him.
Amen.
And so I'm going to knock at that door. I'm going to bleat my requests as a sheep. I want to strive to draw near my shepherd because I know that's where He called me to be. And the nearer I am to Him, the more likely I'm going to hear Him speak. And so I consciously seek to cultivate a familiarity with the voice of Jesus by regularly hearing Him speaking in His Word and responding to that Word by faith. And friend, listen, that is so very vital to the Christian life. And the reason it is vital, here's the last thing, the third thing, is because there are other voices out there calling to you every day that are not the shepherd. And by knowing His voice, we are protected from the strangers who only want to do us harm.
Amen.
That's the fifth verse. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Now, who are the strangers he's talking about here? Well, they're the thieves and robbers he mentioned in the first verse. A sheep who knows the shepherd's voice will flee from a stranger. When our kids were little, we taught them stranger danger, right? And we did that because we're concerned, and Jesus is giving you a stranger danger alert here. And you know, that's literally true, that the sheep will not follow the stranger. I read this week the account of someone who had traveled to Israel, and he literally saw this happen. When the shepherd would walk out in front and call his sheep with his special call, they would follow him. But anybody else that tried to call with that call, the sheep would flee. And even, I read another account where they dressed a stranger, a guy, in the shepherd's clothes. He looked just like the shepherd. He was disguised. And when he called the sheep, they ran. Why? Because they weren't fooled. They know the voice of the shepherd. And they don't know the voice of a stranger. So Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice, and I will never, they will never, never, never follow a stranger." It's one of those strong negations that Greek uses. They will know not in any way follow a stranger. It's just not going to happen. They will flee. But then imagine that poor sheep who hasn't learned the sound of his shepherd's voice. He can't discern the difference between the sound of the master calling him out to pasture and the butcher calling him to slaughter. That's what Jesus is warning us about. Down in verse 10, we'll get to in a couple of weeks. But it says, the thief comes, why? To steal, kill literally is slaughter, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. You got to know whose voice is calling you. Your children, you have to know that. All of us need to know that. Again, Psalm 23, we'll just pick up in verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's where the thieves and robbers are hiding, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, as I'm following you, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friend, listen. Cultivate an ear that knows the voice of the Savior and so refuses to follow that of strangers. Learn to hear and respond to His Word with faith like your life depended on it, because guess what? It does. And again, there is no way to do that except to spend time with Him, getting familiar with the sound of His voice. And so let me just ask that question. How are you doing that? What is your practice? And if you're not doing so, how could we begin? How could you begin? This day even. And let me hear you say this. I'm glad to help with that. If you're saying, Scott, I don't even know where to start. Okay, let's talk about that. I can share with you what I do. But you know what also? Looking around you here in this pew with brothers and sisters in Christ, there are people all over this room. They don't have it down. It's not perfect, but they could help you. This is the kind of thing we ought to be asking. How do you meet with the Lord? That's the kind of thing we ought to discuss together. Now, it begins at conversion, of course. You have to start there. It begins with that gospel work that He does. So go to Him through the gospel, call on His name, hear Him speaking to you, and come to Him by faith. But then continue in that Word. Let His Word continually flood your soul with His truth and His presence so that you know Him. Amen. And again, this is the kind of thing as a church, as fellow Christians, we ought to talk about together. We ought to be asking each other, how are you doing with Christ? Are you growing in your relationship with Him? And if you are struggling, how can I help? How can we help each other follow as sheep? How do we help each other learn to respond to the shepherd's voice? That is so vital. And it's vital because if you're looking at your outline, you see the third thing, and you're looking at the time and saying, this is never going to happen. Well, here's the good news. It's a two-minute third thing. The third thing is this. Those who know His voice can't hear His words, and so they never learn to follow Him. Look how this thing ends in verse 6. This figure of speech, this parable, this story Jesus told them, meaning these Pharisees that he'd been arguing with, they did not understand what he was saying to them. They didn't understand. Why didn't they understand? I mean, they're not stupid men. They didn't understand because they're unbelieving men. They're men with their ears stuck in, with their fingers stuck in their ears, who refuse to listen to a word Jesus has said. He'll rebuke them for it later in John 10, verse 26. He'll warn them. He'll say, "The reason you don't believe is because you're not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow them. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." What a promise! But not for them, because they're not his sheep. They can't hear his voice. They will not follow him into life, and therefore they will perish. What about you? Friend, are you one of his sheep? Are you one of his sheep? How can you know? Because you will hear his call and follow him. Will you hear and follow? Lord Jesus, good shepherd, loving shepherd, tender shepherd, whom we see displayed for us here in your word, would you give an open ear to everyone hearing the sound of your gospel, and you, through that gospel, calling their name. Father, I'm so grateful for that day back in 1981. It's a lifetime ago, when I, an arrogant, self-centered high school graduate heading off to college, full of plans and ideas of where I was going to take my life, suddenly heard the voice of the shepherd calling me to come and follow. By the grace that opened my heart, suddenly there was nothing I wanted more than to walk with Christ. I'm so grateful, Lord, for everyone here in this room whom you have called in like manner, who've heard and responded and come. And Lord, we all confess before you, we don't walk as faithfully as we should. We get distracted by the daisies along the roadbed, and we turn aside this way and that, but you continue to tenderly come for us. You continue to issue the call of your grace and to lead us on. You go before us. You lead the way. God, call your sheep. And Lord, that one right now that's out among wolves, that's stumbling in dark places, that's in the, even the one right now in the hands of the thief, would you let that one hear your voice calling? Would you awaken hope and faith to turn from, Lord, the voice of a stranger meant for their destruction? God, there are some perhaps that are being called into the voice of the abuse of substances, or called into sexual immorality, or called into just selfishness and materialism, or called into bitterness and anger. All of these voices of strangers that are intent upon our harm, would you let them suddenly hear the call of the Good Shepherd and turn and run and find grace and hope? Would you give us grace to follow you as you lead us to green pastures, through the valley of the shadow of death, to that place that you have prepared, and that we might know that life with you that is life? Lord, grant that faith. In Jesus' name, amen.